All right. Well, good morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And those of you, I've been here before. There are some new faces, but there are some familiar faces. And it's always good to come in the house of the Lord. And there are people here that you knew from the previous time was coming down here. That means that you're being faithful to God. Amen. And I believe it's important in a Christian life that we be faithful to the one that should be the most important, and that is the Lord, and His house is important to Him. What I like to do this morning, as you all know, my wife and I, this is my lovely wife back here on my left, my wife Teresa, we've been married for 35 years coming this July. Y'all pray for me. Amen. All right, y'all get that. No, she's been good to me for 35 years, and I appreciate her coming to be with me this morning. And I appreciate Pastor McDonald giving me the opportunity to come back here this Sunday morning or this Sunday and fill in his pulpit for him. I don't take that for granted because I believe it's a position that should be honored by God and by those that feel that. And I really appreciate him allowing me to be here. What I like to do this morning, I want to do something this entire day today. I want you to think about this one word. Amen. That word. He already got it. Continue. Continue. I want you to think about it today because my heart's desire for these three messages or three opportunities I get to speak today, I want it to be something that I want you to continue to do for the year 2016, even though you're into the month of March, but I want it to be something that you would continue to do throughout the year, so we hope that the messages would parallel that so that it would be something that you would remember. If you don't remember anything about Pastor White coming, you remember that he talked to us about continuing to do the things that God would have you to do. And I believe this morning in the lesson that I have before you, it took me probably about maybe almost a year to get through this area. So I'm going to give y'all the 45-minute presentation of it. But I believe that it will be a great help to you, and I hope that it will be a blessing to you. I want to talk to you about continuing in your life relationships. Continuing in life's relationships, because I believe it's important, and not only in your homes, in your community, but I believe it's also important in the church. If you think about your family this morning, every one of us come from a family, and every one of us have somebody in our family who are what? People that we have to learn how to get along with. We're going to have to learn how to deal with people. We have to learn how to deal with people in the house of God because the house of God is made up of who? Family. And it's made up of people. And families, just like your home family or your extended family, your spiritual family, there's going to be some issues. There's going to be some things that are going to come up in the house of God, just like it does in your house when it comes to getting each other. And I believe that in the house of God, it is so important today and it is so prevalent that we learn how that God has designed every relationship that you are in. It is by God's design that you're in that relationship. And it's people that you're going to have to relate to. And I want us to see this morning, I talked to Pastor McDonald. He was just telling me who would be in the Sunday school class. I think it's so important because we want to do something this morning that I believe will help us and our relationships with each other. If we're going to honor God in our homes, if we're going to honor God in the house of God, we got to work on these relationships because God has given them to us. And I want to fill in these blanks, some of them with you, but some areas I may spend a little bit more time in and some areas I may not spend as much time in. But because I've given you the whole outline, I want to try to get you to fill in the blanks, but I want to talk to you about some things that are there as well. Let's take our Bibles and let's turn over to the book of... And get here to the beginning. Turn over to Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. We're going to begin there because in Romans chapter number 12, it gives us a complete outline of these relationships and how that we ought to handle ourselves. And it's going to help and make sense to you in some of these things that we're talking about here when we look at this outline of lessons that I've given you. And one of the things that we did some years ago at Shining Light Baptist Church, we taught this in the teenagers class, we taught it in the adult class, and it was the idea of this book that was written by Dr. Smith, who's a pastor, was at West Coast Baptist College. He's now pastoring a church up in the northern east part of the states now. Different by design. Every one of us are different by design because God has designed us to be different. I want us to look at Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 10. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 10 is I'm going to begin there, and I'm going to read some verses there with to you, and hope you can follow along. And I want us to consider some things this morning that we want to talk to you about, because people are people no matter where you go. And people are important to God and the relationships that He's given you. And I want to share some things that help, I believe, will help you not only in your home and your job, but also in your families. And notice what it says in Romans chapter number 12 and verse 10. It tells us to be ye kind, be kindly, affectionate, one to another with brotherly love, and honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessities of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them that persecute you, bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind to one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low esteem, but not be not wise in your own consent. Recompense no man evil for evil, providing things honest in the sight providing things honest in the sight of all men. I'm going to stop there for right now. People are everywhere we go. We're going to have to deal with people in our homes. We're going to have to deal with people in our church. But I wanted to give you, as you fill out the blanks here, I believe one of the first one to have in the introduction is, I want you to consider what's being said here. God created people, and God connects people. He designed our lives not to be independent, but to be interdependent. Amen? Or be dependent, and not independent. First upon Him, then upon each other. You were created to have relationships in your life that are vital to your development as a person and as a child of God. I hope I'm not going too fast, but it says they're dependent and interdependent is one of those we have in the first blank step. Now, and throughout your life, God cares much more about your relationships than your accomplishment. Can you believe that? God cares more about your relationships than He does your accomplishments. Just ponder that for a minute, because He really does. In all of our lives, there are vital, high priority relationships, and there are lesser priorities, secondary relationships. That is not to say that some people are less important than others, but to say that some relationships are God-given, essential in your life. I don't want to ponder that for just a minute. Because they are. They are very essential in your life because God has designed them. God has put those people and those relationships in your life. And we're going to look at some of the vital ones and some of that aren't so vital. But they are very important no matter where you are in your Christian life. And remember this. And how we deal with our relationships, there's always somebody who's watching what you do. There's always somebody watching what you do. I was just telling my wife this morning, I'm going to get a copy of this to make sure I'm following along here. You may not have all of that, but I want to make sure that you have what I'm giving you to fill in. In our lives, there are vital high priorities in our lives, relationships that are there, lesser priority in relationships. Okay, so those are the first blanks that you're going to fill in there, because I want to get down to some of these other areas. But number one, I want to look at it first of all, God has designed all of the relationships in my life. God has designed all the relationships that are in your life. They didn't just happen by chance, but you look at number one there, God has designed all of the relationships in my life. Just like He has in mine, God has designed them in your life. Every earthly relationship is more about our heart for God than our heart towards men. Because if my heart is right with God, it's going to help me be able to get along with other people. Amen? If I have a problem with God and my relationship is not right with Him, it's going to hinder my relationship with other people. It's going to hinder your relationship with where you work. It's going to hinder your relationship with your family, your kids, your siblings, where you work. In your community, because when I'm right with God in the way that I'm walking in the Spirit of God, I can have a right relationship with other people. And that's what God is concerned with. Notice the second blank that we have here under number one. Every earthly relationship is placed in my life by God for a purpose. So there's a purpose in every relationship that God has given me. There's a purpose in every relationship that God has given me. Now, I'm going to just help you to fill in these vital relationships that you see here that are following. The vital relationships that God designed our lives to include. First of all, the relationship with God. That ought to be the first and foremost, and it ought to have the highest priority in your life. The relationship with God. Again, as I said already, if my relationship is not right with God, it's going to hinder my other relationship with other people. And it's vital. Relationship with parents and family are the primary authority in our lives. When we think about young people, or no matter how old we get, our relationship with our parents and family is so important. That's the second one. My relationship with siblings are important. And we're going to see, hopefully, this morning how a relationship with siblings is going to help us in our families as we put our families together, those that are building families. Relationship with pastor and church family is so vitally important. I believe, like I've said already, when we come into the house of God, that we learn how these relationships that God has brought us into helps to cultivate our relationship with each other in the house of God. We got to learn how to get along with our pastor, but we got to learn how to get along with each other in the house of God, just like you do in your family, in your home. Is there be a terrible place or turbulence in the home when a family does not get along? How many of you have problems in your family at home? You know, the same problems, the same things, the same personality, the same makeup that you are, different by design, carries over into the church. Because we're all sinners, I pray this morning, saved by the grace of God. Amen. And we're going to have problems and we're going to have issues. But I believe with all of my heart that God not only wants us to work out our problems in our home, God wants us to work out the same situation, the same issues that come up in our homes. God wants us to do the same thing in the church. There are so many people leave the church because they go through unresolved issues in the church. It happens at Shining Light Baptist Church. I'm sure it happens at New Testament Church because people are not willing to deal with the issues. Think about this. A family that stays together, prays together, we hear it said. But a family that's willing to work through issues and resolve those problems is a family that'll stick together. The same thing has to be in the house of God. The same things have to happen in the house of God. Let me move on because there's a lot here I want to do, as I said earlier, in such a short period of time. Relationship with pastor and church families, we stop there. Relationship with elders and teachers is so important. Those are the vital relationships that God is giving us. And you know, and Satan wants to do everything he can to tear down those relationships. And he's good at it. Amen. Secondary relationships that God may allow us to enjoy. Our relationship with extended family. A relationship with friends are those that God gives us to enjoy. Relationship with co-workers and teammates or whatever you might have that are outside of the home, outside of the family. But those relationships are important to God as well. And if you are a young person, as we see there in these blanks that we're filling in, if you're a young person, the vital relationships that would be part of your future includes this. Again, your relationship with God. Your relationship with your spouse. Your relationship with children. Your relationship with pastor and church family. It kind of coincides there are some of the same things. But we're talking about young people, and we're talking about older people. All of these relationships, as we see, are going to be important. The secondary relationships that you may have, again, are employers, extended family, friends, relationship with coworkers, and associates. So these are all designed by God. These are the relationships that God has allowed to be in your life and to be in my life. But let's consider some of these things that we talked about as we look at number two. God commands me to prefer others with brotherly love. Can you believe that? God prefers me to consider others with brotherly love, preferably than myself. I think about when I talk to our young people, as my wife and I have taught many years to our teenage group. We always try to give our teenagers a verse of scripture to go along with what we're talking about, because if they're going to ever refer back to anything, they ought to have the Word of God that they can refer back to. It ain't just Pastor White or Pastor Dawson talking, but what does the Word of God have to say about what we're talking about? I'm going to give you the verse that goes along with it. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10 was one of the ones we just read. Be ye kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. In other words, God is telling me there that I need to prefer others above myself. The great thing about joy that we can have in the Christian life is, first of all, Jesus, others, and yourself. Think about it. That's what joy really is. And the joy of the Christian life is Jesus first, considering others, and then yourself, because that's what joy really is all about. And we can get it all, Pastor used to say, bollocked up. We get it all out of place and out of whack. Then we don't have the joy of the Lord in our lives because we don't consider others more than we consider ourselves, because that's what's important to God. And that's what's going to help us. So this command here applies to all of life's relationships. This is the basics. Love and respect that is due every person as uniquely created by God, because that's what we need to consider. I want us to think about something here that you see here under this number one of things that we're talking about here, or number two here that we're talking about. I almost got one of these copies mixed up here. Oh, number two. Okay. As I want you to understand this, because when I think about relationships, what did Jesus Christ do when he left all the heavens glory to come? And he took the initiative. He showed us about how important it was to him to build relationships with us. I want you to consider this as we fill in these blanks that are here that follows. People are often out of immaturity, inconsiderate, and hurtful in relationship towards each other, especially family members. Can you believe that? People are often out of immaturity, inconsiderate, and hateful in relationship towards others, especially family members. Why is it so easy for us to be inconsiderate of our family members? And they're the ones that's the most close to us. And they're the ones that we probably have the most problem with. Because a lot of times in our Christian life, or even in our families, we're immature in that area because we want what we want for ourselves. We want our way. How many have kids that always wanted their way? And some of us, even adults, still want our way. But it's not always about us. And we can become hurtful towards others because we're considering we want our way. And look at what it says in the second blanks, because I think that'll help it make more sense to you. This command should move your actions, is what goes there. You should be the initiator of loving actions and expressions in all of your relationships. In other words, you ought to initiate the problems or initiate the by responding to people, even when they don't respond to you, and do what you want them to do for you. Consider this. Often we are self-centered and expect others to act upon us, to show us love first. Isn't that true? We want other people to be considerate of what we want. But really, sometimes it needs to be the other way around. You know, love will solve a lot of issues in our lives as Christians when we're willing to consider what maybe somebody else would need, or what somebody else wants, more so than it does ourselves. And that's not an easy thing to do for us as Christians. It's not an easy thing for us to do in our own home, because we want our way, because we're built selfish, if we just be honest with ourselves. But does that selfishness, does it please God? And that's what we have to ask ourselves. Does it please God? You know, when we talk about him, and I'm getting on this soapbox because I could stay here in a lot of these areas. We spend a lot of times in our church talking about just different areas with our young people, even when I taught the adult class. Jesus left all of heaven's glory to come to this earth and die for your sins and for mine. You know, he could have been very selfish and say, you know what, Adam and Eve didn't want it, so everybody that followed, they ain't going to get it either. But he didn't. He initiated his love by coming and showing us how much he loved us and wanted us to have a part of what he wants for us. He came and bridged that gap together because he wasn't selfish, because he loved us. And God wants us to be the same way. This causes us to rationalize these things in our lives. We want others to express love or communicate to us first. We don't want to initiate it. Then when someone doesn't fulfill our expectations, we withdraw in resentment to the fact that they don't consider us first. Is that very true? If we just be honest with ourselves and we become resentful of those people or those persons who don't want to do that for us. Let's fill in the next blank. I could stay here a lot longer. But it says here, it is the will of God that we would at first express love in all of our relationships on our own without waiting for someone else to initiate or even to respond. Boy, that's a mouthful, isn't it? It is God's will that we would act first. It is God's will that we would do that first because it would solve a whole lot of issues. And you know what? A lot of times I've heard, and you've probably heard it said before, it is not always the best thing to always win every battle. Do y'all agree? Even though we may want to, some things we may have to leave unresolved, but we don't always have to have our way in everything. We shouldn't always want our way in everything. I thought about this this morning as I was just meditating over this. If you could take everybody out of the church and we could fill all of these seats that are filled right here this morning, we're not trying to add any that are not here. If everyone that's sitting in these pews, or not pews, we're not inside the pews in the church yet, right? If everybody that's sitting in the chair was like you, that would be frightening, wouldn't it? But if everybody was just like you, what would the world be like? Huh? It would be boring. But all of us are not alike. But again, think about it. It is because God has designed it to be that way. But he still wants us to get along. I wouldn't want everybody in the world to be like me. I wouldn't want the church to be filled of like people like me because me, I wouldn't want to listen. No, I wouldn't want to listen to me. Amen? But God wants, he designed it. Let's move on because, again, I want to try to get through all of this. So hopefully I'm not harrying too fast. Amen? Are y'all with me? Okay, let's move on. To put it simply, don't wait for others to talk to you or express love to you. Choose to go to them and express love first. Choose to go to them and express love first. Don't wait for them to come to you, but choose to go to them and express love to them first of all. 35 years I've been married. And I've been expressing my love first. No, just kidding. But I am so grateful that my wife expresses her love to me. And I don't always have to be first. Or I want to do it because I don't want her to always be first. And it's going to help in our marriage. It has helped in our marriage. The same thing in the church. How many of you sitting here, be honest this morning, say that you've misunderstood what somebody else said or what somebody else did in the church? Instead of loving them anyway, because none of us are perfect. And a lot of times when we go to them and talk to them and express love and consider it as to what it is that was said or what has happened, it'll make our relationship go a whole lot farther. Again, I ain't got to win every battle, but I ought to be willing to try to resolve some problems and resolve issues. There are so many people that have left the church over some of the most minute things that aren't even serving God because they chose to want to be first. And when somebody doesn't express love towards them, they get offended and they want to leave the house of God. And it may happen in your family. Most of the kids probably that are raising a home, they can't just leave until they get 18 or 17. Some of them might decide to leave before that because they don't get along with those in their family. But you know what? God designed the family that you're in. God designed the church that you're in. And we need to learn how to get along. Amen. Let's move on to number three. My relationship with God should be my life's first priority. We've seen that in every relationship that we need to consider. Here, Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13 says this. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. I like that verse. And because the first priority in my life ought to be that of God. Whether therefore you eat or drink, and whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whatever you do and whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God, because we want God to be glorified and we want God to be honored. If he's first and priority in my life, then everything I do should bring glory and honor to God. Without question, God desires and deserves the first priority and place in my life. He created you. He saved you. He owns you. He belongs on the throne of my heart and the throne of your heart. Because, again, I say it again, if he's on the place that he ought to be, it'll help me with all the other relationships that I come into contact with other people. God is a personal God. That's what you have there is one of the blanks that needs to be filled in. God is a personal God. Over and over in Scripture, he invites you into his presence to know him, to relate to him personally. He does not want you to be a far off figure in him to be a far off figure in life, but a very present friend, a close, intimate relationship of your heart. God wants that and God desires that from you. I could say a lot more about that one as well. But let's move on to number four. My relationship with my parents prepares me for my future spouse. Wow. My relationship with my parents prepare me for my future spouse. Young people, I say this to you. Honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord honor thy father and mother as the Lord thy God have commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged and that it may go well with thee in the land in which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Deuteronomy 5:6 says this. Likewise, ye wives, that was that verse, but this is 1 Peter 3:1. Likewise, you wives, be in some subjection to your own husband. Why? It's going to help me in my future relationship with our spouse. I'm going to touch on that in just a minute. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, as it is, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And that's going to cause a problem. Why is this so important? My relationship with my parents at a young age is preparing me for my future spouse. We must recognize, first of all, that for a teenager, this relationship should be second only to God. But here's the key that I believe is missing in a lot of families that we don't realize is how we get along as we're building our family is going to help our young people and their relationship with their future spouse. Here's why. In this vital relationship, it is vital that you see your relationship as a training time for your future marriage. You need to see it as a training time. A young man, you will one day treat your wife the way that you treat your mother. And most young people don't think about it that way. And I'll make another comment about that. Young lady, you will one day treat your husband the way you treat your father. Let's put it all into perspective, into a different perspective. That's why I say it relates to whether you're married today or whether you're going into a marital relationship. Because let me say this for my family, and I realized a long time ago as a father, that how I treat my wife is going to have an impact on how my daughters select their husbands. Girls tell me just not long ago, Dad, we ain't going to get married because we ain't found nobody to treat us like you do. I said, honey, find somebody, amen. And that's what my girls say. Dads, it is so important that our young people, girl or boy, sees how you treat their mother. Mom, it is so important for your daughter to see how you treat your husband. Because one day they're going to have a family. And if they saw how you treated Dad, then they're going to treat their husband the same way. Fair or unfair. A father, how you treat your wife, your son is going to treat his wife the same way. And that's how it works. And that's why it's so important, because it has an effect on their marriage down the road. You may not think so, but it really does when you take it all into perspective. And it makes so much sense when you think about it, not just spiritually, but logically. it makes sense. And that's why it's so important to God. Because, again, we have to realize God has put us in the relationships that we're in. I could say more about that. Because the young lady is going to be a wife one day, we pray to God. The young man is going to be a father one day. And those actions or those things are going to be vital when it comes to parents and their relationship to the future, to their and their spousal relationship, because it's going to help your children and their relationship to their spouses. It is so important. Off the hook. Amen. Let's move on. Number five, my relationship with my siblings prepare me for future children. Most of us don't think about it this way either, but I'm going to make some comments about that. Notice in Ephesians 6:4 says this, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." God does not intend for your relationships with your siblings to be one of fighting, anger, and jealousy. God, growing up with siblings in your is your opportunity to learn how to honor and nurture those to whom you are the closest. That's going to help you to raise your own children. One of the best training grounds for learning to nurture and to love future children is right in your own home while you are growing up. If you can nurture your brother and or sister, you will one day be an excellent parent. Your children deserve that. And here's why I say it's so important. If we learn how to get along with our siblings when we were young, or young people that are here this morning, if you learn how to get along with your siblings, you'll learn how to be a better parent to your children. You know why? All of the children that you have are going to have different personalities. They're all going to be different. They're going to all respond a different way. You're going to have to realize one may be different physically. One may be capable of doing some things that the other ones may not be capable of doing, because they're all different. And when you have children, how many of your children, Mrs. Jones, I'm not picking on her, but I know she has a lot of kids because I've known her for quite some time. They've been coming down. Are any of them the same? They all are different. So if they all learn how at a young age to get along, it's going to help you in raising your children, because they're going to be different too. And you know how to get along with them. You know how to bring out and get the best out of them, because as a parent, you want to raise them that way. That's why it's so important. Are y'all with me? Are y'all with me? Amen. All right, so we're going to move on to the next one. We might get there, amen. I'm working at it. Number six, my relationship with teachers and elders prepare me for future employers. Wow. If we work outside of the home, we need to learn how to get along with employers, don't we? How many of y'all got great bosses? Oh, we got one man. How many of y'all said, honey, my boss is awful, or dear, my boss is awful? How many of us come home with those kind of complaints every day? Just be honest. We do. But again, what? They are what? People. They were brought up a certain way. They don't do everything right. Well, neither do I. And here's one thing that I might hope that I always try to understand when it comes to being a boss. I've always tried to be a good boss when I was in the military and I was in charge and had all these young people working for me. But one of the things I always try to do is treat people the way that you want to be treated. Amen? And that's going to help you, and it's going to go a long way. Because we need to learn how to deal with our employers and our bosses, because they're going to be somebody. My dad told me years ago, boy, no matter what, when he called you boy, I tell you what, you better listen when he called you boy, he's serious. Amen? He said, boy, you're going to always have to work for somebody. Is that true in y'all's lives? We always got to work for somebody. We always got to answer to somebody. And you know the one person that we're all going to always answer to? We're going to have to answer before. We're going to have to answer to God. We're going to stand before God in how we related to other people, whether it was our boss or whether it was employers. Learn to live under authority. That's the most important thing. Be subject unto the higher powers. One of the hardest things for most people to do today is to submit to authority in their lives. Of the problems in the church is that, you know, there's only one person that's going to be in authority. And who is that person? The pastor. God is going to. He's the one held responsible. And even as a pastor, what I would say, me as a pastor, I got to do things that I believe that God is leading me. Amen? But what the pastor needs is those that are believing that he's following the leadership of God and that we're willing to submit to that leadership that God has placed in the church. Again, you married the person that you married. Amen. Those that are married. I hope you did. Amen. But you ought to be willing to submit to that authority. Brother Jones wasn't perfect. No, just kidding. I pick on them because I know them. Amen. He wasn't perfect. Neither is his spouse perfect. But she ought to be willing. I'm not saying that they are. I don't know anything about what's going on in there. But I'm just picking on them because I know them. Amen. You have to be willing to submit to the authorities in your life. My wife, she loves it. I think she just said, well, you know what? I ain't got to answer for it. You make the decision. No, she don't always. But, you know, she's a helpmeet to me. But ultimately, I'm responsible for the direction of my family. And that's why it's so important. And authority. Most people have problems with authority. Authority is something that you're going to always have to deal with. Let's fill in the blanks there. Living under the authority while you are young is preparation for living under authority when you become an adult. You will one day have a career or a vocation with it. Authority to whom you will answer, as I've already said that. So learning to honor and respect teachers and elders now is God's way of giving you a training ground for your future. And that's why I believe it's so important that our young people see that in our homes as mothers and fathers and as leaders in our homes that we're willing to submit to the authority that God has placed us under. If we come home always having preacher for lunch and our children see it, how are our children going to respond to their leadership when they become in a church? Amen? You see how it all just recircles around? Because if I don't learn how to respect my pastor and I come home every Sunday and have pastor for lunch and then I eat my steak and potatoes, my children will do the same thing. If I always come home complaining about my boss, and I'm not saying that you have a perfect boss, but if that's all the thing that you always do when it comes to authority, your children will grow up and all they will ever be is complainers. I'm just being honest. Because I try to. And sometimes when things weren't going the way that I thought they ought to, we always tried not to let our children always be the hearers of the circumventing of problems and issues and complaints that my wife and I had about anything, because we don't want our children to always grow up being complainers. Because that's what happened. Let's move on. We're number seven. We're almost there. My relationship with my pastor and my church family is vital to all of my life, as we've already kind of hinted on it. Think about Ephesians 4 and verses 11 and 12. And God gave some apostles and God gave some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. For what? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's why God gave us a pastor. But God also gave us a church family. He says, let your conversation be as becometh of the gospel of Christ, that whether I come to see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That's how it's so important in the church family. That's how it's so important in the house of God, because God has given you a pastor. We talked about that many years ago when we came here, when y'all didn't have a pastor. Amen. He gave some a pastor. They were apostles. They were prophets. Advantage for the work of the ministry, for the perfecting of the saints. So when we come together, God wants us to be striving together for the gospel's sake. You know, one of the greatest hindrances in a church is where there's always bickering, there's always strife going on, because you know what? When we're doing that, the gospel is not going forward. We're not reaching a lost and dying world when we got bickering and all these things going on in the church. God doesn't want it to be that way. I could say a lot more about that, but I'm just trying to help you this morning. And hopefully it'll be a blessing to you. Jesus loved the church. He loved it so much that he gave his life for it. In every church, he places leaders, pastors who are commanded to love, nurture, and to lead the church family for the honor or to the honor and glory of God. Then he commands us to assemble together for the purpose of worshiping, for preaching, for growth, for fellowship and service. The church is God's idea, and while no church or pastor is perfect, having a good relationship with the pastor and church family is essential to God for your spiritual growth and health of the church. It is so important. No matter where your life takes you, always establish a healthy relationship with your pastor and your church member. It is so important to God. It is so important for the work of God. So remember that, a healthy relationship. Or number eight, a Christian. Every life relationship is an opportunity for ministry. How many of us ever thought about it? As a Christian, every life relationship is an opportunity for ministering or for ministry. He says this in Luke 19 and verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Your whole life will be filled with divine appointments, moments when your life intersects with someone else for a reason. The more you understand God's touch behind this moment, the more you can begin to allow His Holy Spirit to fill and to guide you how you must minister to each unique person that you come in contact with. There's many times that how many of you have been to the store and somebody comes up to you and probably gets on your nerves sometimes and asks you, can you give me a dollar? Can you give me a dime? Sometimes it kind of bothers you. But you know, sometimes we need to stop and think, there may be a God's divine appointment that not only would I give him a dollar, but maybe I ought to have a track in my hand to give that person as well. Because that's an opportunity for me to minister. In my relationship with other people, in my family, it's an opportunity for me to minister. In my relationship with other people in the church, it's an opportunity for me to minister to that person. Because they may need to hear something that God would say through you to be a blessing to those that He put you in contact with. Because every opportunity is an opportunity to minister. If we would look at it that way, I believe it would be a blessing to us as to realize it's an opportunity to minister to other people. Every relationship is an opportunity to witness for Christ or to share His love with others. And that is true. It is time that you realize that you can minister to everyone, parents, pastors, siblings, family, etc., as it says here. Start viewing every relationship in your life as a chance to serve. Not only to serve that person, but it's a chance to serve God and that opportunity that He gives you. Every opportunity is an opportunity to serve that person, serve God, because that's what God would have. It may be sometimes when somebody knock on the door, it may not always be a salesperson. It may not always be a Jehovah Witness that you may not want to talk to. You may not want to be bothered. And sometimes I have to catch myself. You may be busy, but sometimes you need to stop and think, you know, you never know what that person on that other side of the door may need to hear. They may need to hear the gospel. They need to see that you love them enough that you're willing to share the gospel with them. They may not want to hear it. But you need to look at it as an opportunity to minister. Let's look at number nine. God's desire is that I would intimately resolve or immediately resolve problems in my relationship, as we've already talked about it. Let's see, Matthew 18 and verse 15 is a good verse. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou shalt gain thy brother. And that is so important. I believe one of the tragedies in the churches today, and most pastors and even most Christians don't exercise it, and that is to resolve issues immediately. And most of us, if we be honest with ourselves, we have a tendency to grope, complain, get bitter, get anger, get hold of all of these things inside. And we never resolve the issue. It's like I was telling a young man just the other night. He called me and I was talking to him. And he was talking about some marital issues. And I told him, as long as you take those issues and problems and sweep them under the rug, what happens to that rug after a while? Huh? It gets lumpy. It gets lumpy. But to smooth it out, we need to not put the problems under the rug. We need to resolve those problems. We need to resolve those issues. You know what? It is important in your house, and it's more so important in the house of God. Because you can't come to church and hear the word of God or the man of God when you got problems with another brother or sister in the church? Boy, I could say a lot more about that. I need to move on. Amen. So that's a good verse. He says, and this is another verse from Ephesians 4:2. With all lowliness and meekness and with long suffering, forbear one another in love. Ephesians 4:2. The word forbearing means to endure or literally to put up with. Amen. We may have to do that sometimes in our family and even sometimes in the church. But we got to be willing to do. We got to put up with some issues. We got to put up with some things. I cannot control. My wife always said, and I kind of highlight this. You know what? She says this to me all the time. I'll say this to our girls and to other people. I cannot control the actions of others, but I can control or choose my treatment of others and my response to their actions. I can do everything within my power to live peaceably with all men. Romans 12 and verse 18 is one of the verses that we just talked about. Do you have unresolved arguments in your family and friends or with others? I would say to you at this point, go to them and try to resolve those issues. Go to them and try to resolve those things. The Bible tells us, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Because as long as the sun keeps going down, the harder and harder it is for that bitterness and that anger to be resolved. It becomes just like the ground out here in Arizona. It becomes hard and becomes callous. And we need to resolve them. Let me give you these other ones quickly. Number 10, God teaches me to treat these various kinds of relationships from the Word of God. As I'm going to read these, I'm going to give you the scriptures that you can jot down if you want to keep these as something to study or something to just read by and go back over here. Let me find it here. I'm looking at the dating part. I don't want to get to that just as yet. Amen. In resolving. First of all, the first one there are the those. Those who are my enemies, love them. Matthew 5:44. Those who hurt or are suffering, weep with them. Romans 12, verse 15. Those who scorn or cause divisions, avoid them. Wow. Sometimes you may have to do that. Romans 16 and verse 17. Those who have hurt me, forgive them. Because that's exactly what God would want us to do. And that we find in Matthew 11 and verse 26. Those who are poor and of low estate, condescend to them. Romans 12 and verse 16. It says that in that verse we just read. Those who are another race or nationality, be of the same mind one towards another. In other words, we ought to treat them the same no matter what race or what nationality they are. Romans 12 and verse 16. Those who are lost without Christ, overcome evil with good. Witness to them. Overcome evil with good, because they may not want to be receptive. They may not be the most considerate person to talk to. Romans 12 and verse 21. Those who are in need, give to them or give them. 1 John 3 and verse 17. Those who are lonely, be hospitable towards them. 1 Peter 4:9. Or also Romans 12 and verse 13. So the common denominator for all of these relationships and the rule of our relationship is love. Is love for Christ or love for God. By God's grace, I can and should love everybody that I come in contact with, because you know what? It pleases God. And I believe it's one of the things that we need to do today is to continue to work on the relationships that God has placed in your life. Look at it as an opportunity to minister. Look at it as an opportunity for you to glorify and honor God in those relationships, because they're important to God. They're important to you in your home. They're important to God outside. If we're going to ever win the loss to Jesus Christ, we got to be considerate that nobody is like me. I don't want everybody to be like me. But God wants me to love them. And God wants you to love people, because no matter where you go, there's people. God has allowed us to be connected with people, and God has brought relationships in our lives. Just like everything else that happens in my life and your life, they're designed by God. And God has a purpose in every one of those relationships. I hope that this will be a blessing and a help to you. Stuart, we could have spent a lot more time in this area, but I was praying about something that could help to be a blessing to your church, and I pray that these things would be a blessing to you, not only in the church family, but in the house of God as well. Amen? Father, thank you again. for this time. Thank you for the privilege of being here this morning. Thank you for the opportunity that we have this morning to share these truths with this family here at New Testament Baptist Church. And I just pray that these things would be a blessing in the future. We thank you for the opportunity. We praise you, dear Lord, for just being God and loving us. I pray that you bless the time that there have between the services. Fellowship around some snacks and drinks and those things as well. We pray most of all, Lord, that you bring forth the power and truth of your word in the morning service, that you speak through me, Lord, in a special way, again, that we might continue to be a blessing to these people here at this church. And I just praise you and thank you for the opportunity we have to be here this morning. We love you and praise you and ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.